"Were you transmitting when your friend here spotted me?" he asked his captive. He wondered if the commander of the hidden Gubru forces had heard the word human. The Galactic's comb fluttered. Its answer was so irrelevant that Tom momentarily wondered if he had totally misphrased the question.
"You must surrender pride," it chanted, puffing its feathers. "All young ones must surrender pride. Pride leads to error. Hubris leads to error. Only orthodoxy can save. We can save."
"That's enough," Tom snapped.
"Save you from heretics. Lead us to the returning progenitors. Lead us to the ancient masters. Lead us to the rule givers. Lead us to them. They expect to return to the paradise they decreed when they long ago departed. They expect paradise, and would be helpless before such as the Sorrow, or the Tandu, or the Thenanin, or..."
"Thenanin. That's what I want to know. Are the Thenanin still fighting? Are they powers in the battle?" Tom swayed with the intensity of his need to know.
"Or the Dark Brothers. They will need protection until they are made to understand what terrible things are being done in their name. Orthodoxies broken, heresies abounding. Lead us to them. Help us cleanse the universe. Your rewards will be great, your modifications small, your indenture short."
"Stop it!" Tom felt the strain and exhaustion of the last few days rise in a boiling rage. Next to the Sorrow and Tandu, the Gubru had been among humanity's worst persecutors. He had had all he was about to take from this one.
"Stop it, and answer my questions."
He fired at the floor near the alien's feet. It hopped in surprise, wide-eyed. Tom fired twice more. The first time, the Gubru danced away from a ricochet. The second time, it winced as the needler misfired and jammed. The Galactic peered at him, then squawked joyfully. It spread its feathered arms wide and unsheathed long talons. For the first time, it said something direct and intelligible.
"Now you shall talk, impertinent, half-formed, masterless upstart!"
It charged, screaming. Tom dove to one side as the shrieking avian screeched past him. Slowed by hunger and exhaustion, he couldn't prevent one razor-sharp claw from passing through his wetsuit and ripping his side along one rib. He gasped and stumbled against a blood-stained wall as the Gubru turned around to renew the attack. Neither of them even considered the handguns that lay on the floor. Depleted and slippery, the weapons weren't worth the gamble to stoop and retrieve them.
"Where are the dolphins?"
the Gubru squawked as it danced back and forth.
"Tell me, or I shall teach you respect for your elders the hard way."
Tom nodded. "Learn to swim, bird brain, and I'll take you to them." The Gubru's talons spread again. It shrieked and charged. Tom summoned his reserves. He leapt into the air and met the creature's throat with a savage kick. The shriek was cut off abruptly, and he felt its vertebrae snap as it went down, sliding along the damp deck to fetch up at the wall in a heap. Tom landed stumbling beside it. His eyes swam. Breathing heavily with hands on his knees, he looked down at his enemy.
"I told you we were wolflings," he muttered.
When he could, he walked unsteadily to the ragged tear in the side of the ship and leaned on the curled and blackened lower edge, staring out at the drifting fog. All he had left were his mask, his freshwater still, his clothes, and, oh yes, the nearly worthless hand weapons of the Gubru. And the message bomb, of course. The weight pressed against his midriff. "I've put off a decision long enough," he decided. While the battle lasted, he could pretend he was searching for answers. Maybe he had been procrastinating, though. I wanted to be sure. I wanted to know the trick had a maximum chance of working. For that to happen, there had to be Thenanin. I met that scout. The Gubru mentioned Thenanin. Do I have to see their fleet to guess there are still some in the battle above? He realized there was another reason he had been putting the decision off. Once I set it off, Crydike and Jillian are gone. There's no way they'll be able to stop for me. I was to get back to the ship on my own, if at all. While fighting on the weeds, he had kept hoping to find a working vessel, anything that could fly him home. But there were only wrecks. He sat down heavily with his back to the cool metal and drew out the message bomb. Do I set it off? The seahorse was his plan. Why was he out here, far from Jillian, at home, but to find out if it would work? Across the blood-smeared deck of the alien cruiser, his gaze fell on the Gubru radio. You know, he told himself, there is one more thing I can do, even if it means I'll be putting myself right in the middle of a bullseye. At least it'll give Jill and the others all I know. And maybe it'll accomplish more than that. Tom summoned the strength to stand up one more time. Ah, well, he thought as he staggered to his feet. There's no food anyway. I might as well go out in style. Part 9. Ascent. Sunset and evening star, and one clear call for me, and may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea. A. Tennyson. Chapter 92. Denny and Saud.
It's the longer way, Denny. Are you sure we shouldn't just cut southwest?
Saud swam alongside the sled, keeping pace fairly easily. Every few strokes, he glided smoothly to the surface to blow, then rejoined his companion without breaking stride.
I know it would be faster, Saud, Denny answered without looking up from her sonar display.
She was careful to skirt far from any metal mounds. It was in this area that the killer weed grew. Toshio's story about his encounter with the deadly plant had terrified her, and she was determined to give the unfamiliar mounds a wide berth.
Then why are we returning to Streaker's old site before heading south?
For several reasons, Denny answered. First of all, we know this part of the route, having been over it before, and the path from the old site to the seahorse is straight south, so there's less chance of getting lost. Saud snickered, unconvinced.
And
this way we'll stand a chance of finding Hikahi. My guess is she may be nosing around the old site about now.
Did Jillian ask you to look for her?
Yeah, Denny lied. Actually, she had her own reasons for wanting to find Hikahi. Denny was afraid of what Toshio intended to do. It was possible that he meant to delay leaving the island until Streaker's preparations were finished, and it was too late for Takata Jim to interfere. Of course, by then, it would be too late for him to rejoin the ship via sled. In that case, the skiff would be Toshio's only chance. She had to find Hikahi before Jillian did. Jillian might decide to send the skiff after Tom Orley instead of Toshio. She knew she wasn't thinking things out and felt a little guilty about her decision, but if she could lie to one dolphin, she could lie to another. Chapter 93. Takata Jim and Metz. The former vice captain tossed his head and gnashed his teeth as he contemplated the latest sabotage.
I will string their entrails from the forest branches, he hissed.
The heavy Waldo arms of his armored spider whined. Ignacio Metz stared up at the thin, almost invisible wires that formed a tight tracery over the longboat, holding it to the ground. He blinked, trying to follow the trail of fibers into the forest. Metz shook his head.
Are you sure you're not overreacting, Vice Captain?
It seems to me the boy was only trying to make sure we didn't take off before we agreed to.